Welcome to Design Downtime, the podcast where we celebrate the joys of living a balanced creative life. I'm your host, Guy Siegel, a design director in Toronto, Canada, and I invite you to join me on this journey as we redefine what it means to be a successful design professional. Let's break free from the shackles of hustle culture and embrace the full spectrum of human experience, because life is too precious to be spent only in pursuit of productivity. Today, I'm delighted to be talking with Stephanie Walter. Stephanie is a UX researcher and strategist based in Luxembourg with over 13 years of experience, specialized in enterprise UX, inclusive design, and accessibility. She teaches, speaks, and writes about design, UX research, cognitive biases, and the design-dev relationship, among other topics. She enjoys good tea, bike rides, and drawing illustrations. Her D&D alignment is chaotic neutral, and she is better at keeping her teammates alive in video games than her plants, though she makes an effort. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I always forgot the last part of my bio, the plants thingy.
It sounds like an important part of the bio, though.
Yeah, that's actually a good introduction to papercraft.
Which is what you want to talk to us today about.
Yes.
Before we get to I usually start with the how did you start with this hobby or interest, but let's do, you know, like good designers, let's define our terms. What do you mean when you talk about paper crafting or crafting with paper?
So like basically you cut the paper, you glue it, and like a lot of people, they use like scalpels or scissors and things like that. And what I'm using is a machine called Silhouette Cameo, which is a cutting plotter. So I originally bought it because I wanted to make my own stickers. And it's kind of the gateway drugs into all the stuff. So you buy this machine or you're like, huh, what else could I do with it? It's like, oh, I can cut cute little pieces of paper and stuff like that. So I'm like designing things with paper and then making them into 3D. So I have this kind of paper plants, where it's basically I created like really neon bright leaves that do not exist in nature. So a lot of people do like paper plants where they would like paint it and make sure that it looks like the actual plant. I'm like, I don't care. I have like neon bright paper. I want something shiny. I just want to have fun, you know? So it's technically based on my plants, but in a kind of more colorful version. So it's kind of this process where, you know, you will like glue some pieces of paper on top of each other. So you end up designing these things in layers. And like, usually I design it either in Procreate and then I can import it in the tool. Or if I want more flexibility, I would go vector. So it's like, why would you buy something when you can spend a whole weekend designing, cutting, gluing and making it, you know?
So this is what we're going to talk about today. So now we go to the origin story. Where did it start for you?
Yeah, like the sticker thingy where I started cutting stickers and I checked like, what else can I do? And I was like, there's a lot of things you can cut with the machine, just not sticker paper. So I was like, oh, I can cut paper. I can cut very thin leather. I can cut shrink plastic, which is something I forgot about but I used to have those when you are a child. So the shrink plastic is something we used to have as children, you know, like it's a piece of plastic and you would cut it and you would either like print on it or you would just like draw on it with different things work. Like that's the fun of it. Like depending if you draw with pencils or with Posca or with anything else, you will get very interesting other results. And then you put it in the oven and then it shrinks. It becomes very, very small. Like, so I discovered I can cut shrink plastic. I discovered I can cut vinyl. So then I was like, there's a company who has like a glow in the dark vinyl. So, after starting playing around with plants, I was like, okay, I would like to like make some earrings. I tried shrink plastic for the earrings, but the issue is like you do not control the shrinking ratio. So it's never really perfect. So I was like, you know what? But instead of having kind of a shrink plastic support, what I could do is like have a couple of layers of thick paper, glue them together, and then put some like decoration on top of it. So I ended up like creating earrings, like very fun one, holographic ones, ones that glow in the dark. So with like paper, just like layered on top of each other, glued together, and then another layer of this very amazing glow in the dark. Is it called vinyl? Or you basically like you cut it with the machine, you weed, and then you put it back on another piece of paper. So I'm like, I have a friend who did a conference last year, and she had tentacle themed slides because, of course, she does. So I was like, you know what? You need to have the tentacle in your slides matching your earrings. So I ended up like taking two of the tentacles from her slides and printing them and just like creating these gigantic earrings. So she had like tentacle earrings matching her slides on stage because I've decided to do wacky, strange stuff with paper.
Were you always crafting things and making things? Or is that something that's relatively new?
No, well, as a child, I was always super creative. You know, like you have your phase where you paint rocks, like many children, I think. And then I wonder if my mom still has some. So I had like a lot of different phases. And when I was a student, I would be a camp counselor during the summer to make money. So you have to know how to craft, because when it's raining, you cannot say, okay, let's do something outside with the kids. You need to have activities. So I had like tons, I have books with tons of activities, crafting activities that you can do with kids. So there's a lot of stuff, very, very fun stuff. But usually I used to do it manually, you know, but here with the machine is very nice because it's super precise. So you can do very small pieces, very intricate designs. You can like cut things inside things, weed them out. And so it kind of brings a little bit more flexibility, I would say, because I'm very clumsy. So if I had to cut that by hand, I would never be able to do that. So having the ability to actually design the stuff and like vectorize it, put it in Illustrator, and then being able to print it and cut it directly with the machine, for me, it's kind of a big time saver at the end of the day. But it's still like very creative because I'm not using anyone else's design. I'm just like creating my own design.
So between being a very creative person throughout your life and now having this I'm assuming that this machine is not entry level. What connects it to you? How did you get to this phase where you're, okay, I'm going to have a this cutting plotter kind of thing?
So I designed my own stickers and I had to cut them by hand. And I ended up with pain in the end. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It's Christmas soon. The machine was in discount. So I was like, yeah, let's get the machine, you know, because it was very, very painful. At some point, I was trying to have very small stickers and it was so annoying. And of course, I think I did like 6 months of benchmark before deciding to buy it. So when I said, okay, I'm done cutting by hand, I'm buying it, I already had the research. I was like checking because there's like Windows versus Mac debate in the crafter community, is like Cricut versus Silhouette, basically. And it's funny because Cricut is not the one I chose. It's more like the Mac one. So it's more like plug and play. But what I ended up doing, actually, I tested software for both. And the Cricut software was easier, but it was lacking a lot of control. But I want to be very like precise with the stuff. I want to outline and all of that. I want to edit on things. And the Silhouette one is very frustrating to use, especially on Mac, but it has layers. It has like a lot of tools that I'm used to as a designer. So I'm like, as an advanced user, I went for the more complex one, I would say, but also because I know that it's going to bring me a lot of more flexibility than the easy peasy, just throw your file into the stuff and let the machine do it for you. Which I think it's perfectly fine for other people, but it's like basically the war between, it's same from 3D printing. I think there's different brands and stuff. So I think every craft area has this kind of different levels of machinery and stuff. So yeah, I did a lot of research.
So does having this machine allow you to get to things that are closer to what you envision in your head?
Yeah, because you can be very, very precise. And the software also is very nice because you can measure everything in centimeters and all of that. So if you measure properly, you're like precise up to half a centimeter or something like that. Half a millimeter, sorry. So unless I misalign a piece of paper, for instance, which is my fault, then normally it should be very, very well defined and cut and perfectly. You always have accidents. Like I would say 90% of the time it's exactly what I wanted. Unless I mess up and I forget to switch the design, for instance, and stuff like that. So this is why I usually have a lot of dry run before actually using the real paper. Because I'm clumsy, and as I said, I will forget about measurements. I will forget about, like, I don't know, you need to mirror the design for some things and stuff. I was like, oh, crap, I was supposed to do earrings, so I need one this size and one this size. And of course, I've cut them all the wrong way. So now I need to cut a new batch. So, but it's still kind of saving me a lot of time, for sure.
So you mentioned plants in the beginning, paper plants. That means you went from 2D into the 3D space. Tell me about that move, because I think everyone has done 2D crafts, right? You take a piece of paper, you draw on it. Not a lot of people go into paper crafts in 3D. Tell me how you started doing that.
Because I wanted cute decoration for the flat. So I did like plants, which is kind of easy because it's still like 2D, but then you just put them in a pot and you kind of shape it in 3D. So it's the easy one. And then I went into creating low poly abstract lamp shaders. And those are completely 3D, so I had to do the math and recalculate. I had to like measure around the little circle around the stuff I have in the ceiling to make sure that it fits. So it was a lot of like drawing the things in 2D, then doing the math, and in my mind I was like, okay. And then I did a lot of prototypes basically. It's the same for So I'm showing you a kind of 3D cactus, and it's mostly like a couple of pieces of paper put together. And that's the same. The first time I did that, it was completely wrong because I kind of misaligned the stuff. So I usually do a lot of mistakes with crappy, very cheap paper until I get it right. That's usually the way to go, I think. So a lot of like trial and error. Well, with basically, it's kind of a little bit like UX design. I would do a low fidelity prototype. So I would like usually go for a smaller version of the prototype just to make sure that I have the shapes and all of that's right. And then I would make it bigger, and I would like print. I say print, but it's actually I would cut, but like it's the vocabulary of the machine, like print and cut. So I would like print and cut on very cheap paper first, just to make sure that I have. So I have like tons of prototypes in the flat. I used to keep them, but at some point it takes a lot of space. So it's kind of a lot of math also, like measuring things right. And then, yeah, you have this kind of 2D thing in Illustrator. So like, wait, I mean, this goes here when we glue them together. So I need to make sure that this side and this side are the same. So usually I color code them to know exactly like when I'm doing something more like 3D, where I know I will have to glue things together that belong in a 3D space. Or it's like, okay, this color goes to here, this color goes to here. Do I have the exact same measurement so they will align? Even with that, you know, it doesn't always align perfectly, especially because I do the paper prototype, as I said, on cheap paper, but usually then I'm using more expensive paper, which are a little bit, the weight is bigger. And just like that, that's like very, very, very tiny little difference is already kind of bringing some misalignment sometimes. I could try to compensate for different paper weights, but at some point it's becoming a little bit complicated. So yeah, try a lot of things and do prototype and until you find something that works.
Other than neon colored plants, what else do you craft in 3D?
So I have this lamp shader that took a whole weekend. The thing is, I'm hoarding papers, and my issue is like, I want to do stuff with the paper, but if I do stuff the paper, the paper is not here anymore. My gift is like, So I'm in this kind of conundrum between keeping the paper as they are because they are beautiful and actually doing something with it. And the cool thing with the lamp shader is like, oh, I actually can do something for the flat. And like my friend was like, oh, that's very art deco. Like it's a green paper that's indeed actually has this kind of very art deco vibes. Like, yeah, actually that makes sense. So I've been doing like these lamp shaders. I'm doing like stickers and little jewelry. That's a little cat that has a holographic. No, it's glow in the dark, sorry. Which I sometimes forget about. And then it's in my room. I was like, what the hell? Oh yeah, the eyes of the cat. Okay, good. So I have this kind of glue-in-the-dark thing, and I have something I want to craft, but I didn't have time yet. So there's paper and there's also vinyl. And when you have vinyl, you have one specific type of vinyl, which is vinyl that you can put on clothes. And I want to create two things with that because I found reflective vinyl that you can cut and you can put on stuff. So I want to put it on my bike because I need to be visible in the during the night. So I have the vinyl. I just need to define a design for that. So that's kind of the next project, which is going to be, again, very fun and tricky because I need to measure the bike, the different parts where I want to put it. And I need to remember that it's going to be mostly around a tube. So I need to have kind of a design small enough and maybe a repeating pattern or something that will work with the bike. So that's the reflective vinyl that you can put on bikes, cars, all of that. And I have a reflective vinyl that you can put on clothes. Again, it's something that a lot of people used to have as a kid. You can, you know, like you print on the sheet of paper, you use an iron, and then it transfers off on the on whatever surface, usually material. You have the same with HTV vinyl, heat transfer vinyl, which is basically the same idea, but you do not print on it, you just like cut some shapes. And here I would like to have kind of some, I don't know, shapes to put on leggings, again, for when I'm riding the bicycle during the evening. So I want to do a whole bag. So the bag should be kind of easy because it's not that stretchy, you know, it stretches a little bit, but legging is kind of a challenge. Because you need to put something that is big enough so that people can see it. But if you put a big piece, when it stretches, it will go away. So I think I will need kind of bubbles or something very, again, abstract and a lot of maybe little dots. So I'm still trying to define what to do with the vinyl. But yeah, so I basically bought the material saying, that could be an interesting project, like security and fun with the bike. I haven't designed anything yet, but that's going to be kind of next project as well. So yeah, when I say paper, is a lot of different types of papers, vinyls, and stuff that you can basically cut.
You said everything you do, you design yourself, right? You don't copy from somewhere else or you don't get patterns from a different place. What is your style that you're expressing through these works?
Fun, sometimes spooky, because I have a lot of this kind of little cats and like skeleton cats and stuff like that. So I think it's very organic. It's like shapes, plants, and kind of animal-ish, cute little thingy. But yeah, maybe like around nature and all that. And yeah, what did I do? I did earrings that are ginkgo leaves. So yeah, clearly a lot of things around plants on all of that. But also because I found out that you can cut things, but then in the machine, you have a tool that you can put and you can basically draw with the machine. Which you're like, okay, why would you want to draw with a machine? I was like, yeah. But then you're like, okay, you can put heat pen, which means that then you can have this kind of... So the way the heat pen works is you put a piece of foil on top of something, and then the heat pen is just a pen that is going to draw on top of the foil, and then the foil will transfer. So you can do like hot foiling, which I find usually very classy and amazing. You know, when you get these business cards with the hot foiling and all of that, that's very, very cool. So I found out that I can do that with the machine. I was like, so I ended up doing like a lot of ginkgo earrings and stuff like that. So it's mostly like, okay, I have a fun material. Maybe I have a piece of paper that I really like. What could work with that? And usually it's like organic things, geometrical things. So yeah, I don't really have a style, but I know what I do not like because there's a lot of things I see around. I think it's very, a little bit, too much, you know, this kind of big bold stuff where you just like write something with a big font on a shirt. I did it for a friend, it was fun, but it's absolutely not my style. So I like delicate, intricate, complex and annoying designs, not like the big bold stuff.
And are you designing those things for yourself because you don't see them somewhere else and you say I need to create them for myself?
Yeah, sometimes, or just sometimes I just have an idea. Like the ginkgo was because I met someone at a conference and we just like spoke so much about Japan and all of that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to Japan for autumn. I want to see the ginkgos. And she like really loves paper, like really nice papers and all of that. So we shared a common interest for paper. And I was like shopping for craft supply and I saw this paper. I was like, you know what? She will love that paper and I want to do something with that. And then I discovered that I could do hot foiling. I was like, yeah, that's just it. I need to do some ginkgo hot foiling because it makes sense. You know, like the design is very, a lot of lines, which works perfectly fine because you are going to hot foil with a kind of a very thin pen. So you cannot do like big chunk of areas. It will look ugly. It's more like line design. I was like, yeah, the Jinko makes total sense. It's just like sometimes. So I do a lot of stuff where it's just for friends where I'm like, huh, I could do that for a friend. It could be fun, you know? So, and I hate commissions. I had people try to commission sticker out of me. I'm like, nope, I do not do commissions. Especially if it's asking me to draw a pet, because I know people will be disappointing at some points. I'm just like doing cool stuff for me, for one person. And like, you know, just having fun, basically. This is also why I do not want to sell them on Etsy or anything. I'm just like gifting the earrings. Like, hey, do you want earrings? Hey, do you want stickers? I know a lot of people who do a lot of craft who then end up with tons of stuff and end up giving up to all of their friends because it's the same, you know, like, I have 10 pairs of earrings now. What do I do with them?
You mentioned Japan. I know you recently came back from Japan. The paper crafting and the work you're doing, is it influenced by Japanese culture, by any other culture?
I really like a couple of things in the Japanese style, which is those repeating patterns. Those are very, I think, inspiring, and I would love to at some point work on that as well. Also might work well with folding or something like that. But like clearly the culture in Japan around paper, even like when they pack things, they have the cutest papers ever. I was like, I don't want to throw away the cute packaging, but I'm not going to like keep them all. Otherwise, I will not have any space anymore in the luggage or something like that. So yeah, I think it's kind of very, very, I don't know, like I share a common interest in nice paper with Japanese culture. I don't know if there's a lot of other cultures on the paper craft, maybe a little. Yeah, like typography is definitely more like Swiss influenced. But I don't know if it's like specific to a culture or more like to people, designers. So it's the same, like typography. I also have a lot of friends who do a lot of typography and nice things with paper in France, for instance. I think there's a company in France who recycles paper. They do their own stuff. So all of those very kind of old techniques that they try to bring back. Which I think it's nice because honestly, shopping has been ruined for me on the internet. Now when I go in a shop, I was like, okay, I've seen that online. I've seen that in Instagram ads and I've seen that online and all of that. So being able to go somewhere and have a shop that like they would basically create their own paper, like high quality, even if it's more expensive, I'm like, yes, please, because this is something I cannot find online. And this is something I can do something else with. It's like, I will buy the paper. I have no idea what I will do with it. So I don't know if it's specific to one culture or more like different people in different cultures trying to come back a little bit more to craft. Because at some point, you want authenticity. You know, when you've seen the same products 100 times, especially when you're doing gifts, it's very hard to find a gift that is not something that you've seen like in 10 different Instagram ads and then all the other ads that get pushed to you.
I'm always very curious about communities. So if not cultural impact, are there paper crafting communities?
I have no idea. Maybe there is in Luxembourg. But I have my own communities. So I have a couple of friends and we are all in different cities. One of my friends is in Luxembourg, but the other ones are in different cities in the France. And we do this thing sometimes that we call craft afternoon, which is like Saturday afternoon. We would just hop on a Zoom call and we would do craft. And it's weird because we have the camera on, but sometimes like one of my friends is like drawing. So you just see the top of her head and we just like chatting and everyone is doing stuff. So my friend might be drawing, the other friend might be knitting, the other friend might be doing like, how do you call it? Like carving stems. You can carve stems into gum, stuff like that. I would be like maybe drawing on the iPad or measuring stuff. And we just like chat for a couple of hours and everyone works on their own projects, you know? And we would send pictures and have a good time. And so I don't know if there's like craft community. I think there are because we have a Fab Lab and stuff in Luxembourg. I've ended up like building my own community with a couple of friends who do a couple of different things. I was joking about the fact that between me and three of our friends in Luxembourg, we can open a Fab Lab because like we all have like 3D printer. My partner does leathercraft. So now we have a whole thing with leathercraft in another room. with tons of supplies. My other friends, they are doing like 3D printing, and some are doing stuff with Arduinos and a little bit more like techy stuff. Like, I think we can open a Fab Lab, or at some point we might still miss laser cutting machine, but those are expensive and you need proper ventilation. So but yeah, at some point, if you are tired of working in tech, you can do something.
What are some of the projects you're looking forward to? Do you have any big plans?
Like, I need to motivate myself for the reflective one, because winter is coming and I will be doing a lot of bicycling during the night. So this definitely I need to decide on the design. Also, like, back to Japan, sorry. I'm going to be the annoying person who will talk about her trip in Japan for the next month. But like, so I was in, where is it? Tokyo, and I posted it on social media. I don't know if you or someone else answered on this one. So there's an amazing picture of a crow. Like, usually, you know, like the parks, when they do some signs, it's not a designer who creates them. It's someone in the administration who slapped a font, an image inward and printed it. And this sign is just amazing. It's like the most sassiest crow ever, giving you a weird eye. Like, it's judging you. Like, clearly. And it has like an orange background around it, so it gives this kind of Hitchcock birds meets Clockwork Orange vibe, and it's just like, beware of the crows. And I said, I was like, you know what, I'm totally going to create an illustration with that. And I have a friend in France who has access to a Rizu printer, which is a very specific type of printing machine where you print with different ink, one after each other, which is very, very fun, because then nothing is perfect. Nothing is the same. You always have like layer that moves, which makes every piece a masterpiece on its own. I was like, I'm going to redesign this illustration in other colors. I want it as a poster. I don't know. Like, so this one is also something I'm looking forward to it. At some point I will. I don't know, I might do stickers, I might do mini posters, I will do something, because this kind of very judgmental crow is was very, very funny.
That's awesome. Stephanie, where can people find you?
On stephaniewalter.design. I have all my social media in there. I'm usually Stephanie Walter, but sometimes Walter Stephanie also, because like... A lot of people have the same name as I have, so depending on the handle. But yeah, so my website, I'm mostly active on LinkedIn and Mastodon at the moment, a little bit Blue Sky. That is coming back, so let's see what is good. And I have a newsletter, but it's more like professional one. But I also have this section called Curiosity Cabinet, where I try to bring things that are not necessarily design-oriented, but are very fun, or fun videos, fun stuff, so...
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. That was a lot of fun. It must be frustrating, because it's like in my head, I have all these things and it's very visual and I'm trying to describe them to you. But
I think you did a great job.
Good.
This is all for this episode of Design Downtime. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your downtime.